To be here, thank you for having me once again. I notice the water fully charged here. That's good. I've got a crazy thing going on with my throat, and tends to happen at the most inappropriate times. So if I suddenly grab my throat and run out of here, don't worry about it. Just talk amongst yourself. I'll be back. And if you hear me coughing my guts out, I apologise for that. But water is really helpful. I was speaking in a church a couple of weeks ago, and the throat started to go crazy. And so I went down, I said, oh, I need a glass of water. And went down under a closed pulpit, a wooden pulpit, and went down and found one water and pulled it up. And somebody said, no, don't drink that. So I put it back and I reached back again. There's another one. No, probably don't drink that one either. And they brought me a fresh glass of water. So this one I expect. That's fantastic. You really look after me. That's how you guys are great. Discipleship. Talking about learning to follow Jesus and be like Jesus. Discipleship's often boiled down to a program that's filled with do's and don'ts, rules and regulations, disciplines and rituals, habits and regulations, and a church might put on a discipleship program, come along for the next 7 weeks and do our discipleship program, and then that's it, and then we'll go on to something else. Some of those things, some of the do's and don'ts and rules and regulations are enough to snap the life out of you. And yet Jesus said that he'd come to give life in all its fullness. So discipleship should be about whatever gives us life. Whatever life is all about, it's actually all about following Jesus. A discipleship is relational. The whole Christian faith is relational. Nothing more and nothing less. It's dynamic. It's changing. It's growing. It's always getting there. We've never arrived with discipleship. That frustrates some people. Now, some people think, oh, you know, I can come to the end of a 7-week discipleship program and I've arrived. I'm a disciple. What's next? But discipleship, you never arrive. You just keep on going. Like in marriage, you know, you keep on going with your relationship. It's building, it's growing, and so forth. It's very exciting because it's following one of the most exciting person ever to walk this earth. It's very challenging because that person challenges us to a great deal, and it demands a lot of courage. Demands a lot of courage to be a disciple, because we're really living on the edge, really living out there in some ways quite differently to a lot of people around us. And so I really take joy in the fact that we can have a look at discipleship over these. I'm glad you're doing it for a few weeks, but today. Have a look at discipleship, and I really just want to give you a background and an introduction to the series and think about what that actually means. And to do that, we're going to have a very quick overview of the Sermon on the Mount. Now, oftentimes, people will tell you that Pentecost is the birthday of the church. That the disciples, after Jesus has ascended back into heaven, the disciples got together in the upper room and a few others as well. And Jesus said, wait for the Holy Spirit to fall upon you on the day of Pentecost. The Holy Spirit falls on them and they're changed radically. They're filled with the Spirit and all sorts of stuff happens, and it's absolutely a fantastic day. But it's not the birthday of the church. Some people think that it is. But in actual fact, Jesus started a movement on a beach in Galilee about 3 years before then. He invited two sets of brothers to come and join him in what he was going to do over the next 3 years. Matthew 4, 18 to 22. As he was walking along the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the sea since they were fishermen. Follow me, he told them, and I'll make you fish for people. Immediately they left their nets and they started following him. The movement has started. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John, and they were in a boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets, and he called them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Peter and Andrew, James and John. Four blokes, two sets of brothers, and the Jesus movement has started. You see, that was the birthday of the movement. Not the day of Pentecost, which was an absolutely wonderful day where the Holy Spirit falls upon the church. But the movement has started way back on that beach in Galilee with four fishermen getting together and talking about changing the world. Have a guess how we're going to do it. So what's the definition of a movement? Well, it's defined as a group of people who are gathered around a person and a vision, committed to transformation of life and world with a designated way of life. A designated way of life. That's what discipleship is all about. Discipleship actually is talking about the way of life of the movement that Jesus started. Jesus said, I am the way. And following Jesus as the way to have a relationship with God involves also following Jesus as the way to live life. And that's what discipleship is all about. So, they left the beach, these four guys and Jesus, and they wandered all over Galilee, changing the world, making life a whole lot better to live for crowds of people. Matthew 4:23-25. Jesus was going all over Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness among the people. And then the news about him spread throughout Syria. And so they brought to him all those who were afflicted, those suffering from various diseases and intense pains, the demon-possessed, the epileptics and the paralytics, and he healed them. Large crowds followed him from Galilee, from the Decapolis, from Jerusalem, from Judea and beyond the Jordan. You're catching on to what's happening here? This is a movement that started on a beach with four fishermen and they've been wandering around, and now there's people from Galilee, from Judea, from the Decapolis, 10 cities over here. They're all starting to come together because they're hearing about these incredible things that are going on. Life is being made a whole lot better for a whole lot of people. Oftentimes we run over that idea that Jesus is going around healing and delivering people and so forth. In actual fact, think about when you're sick. When you get well again, life becomes better. Life becomes, it's transformed because you're now feeling better from the physical sickness. And so Jesus was going around, and in his healing ministry, he was making the world right again. He was making the world better again for crowds of people. And people hear about this and they start getting together and they start following him. Galilee, Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and beyond the Jordan. So you've got them coming from all over the place. The movement is growing. The movement that Jesus started with four fishermen on a beach in Galilee is starting to become, well, shall we say, a worldwide movement within that confines of that world. And it also says that Jesus was teaching about the way of the kingdom of God. The really good news is that all you need to have a relationship with God is faith. Because it's all based on grace. And that was the really good news that they were sharing with people. The news of the kingdom of God. Remember that Jesus is talking to people who mainly were into Judaism. Into the Jewish faith. And their faith was based upon following rules and regulations. That's about it. Forgotten how many rules they had for living daily life, 386 or something like that, I don't know, but so many rules the Old Testament and then other books called the Mishnah and the Talmud. They were filled with how much you had to tithe the mint and the dill and the cumin, all those things. Spices, how much you have to tithe your spices and stuff, filled with rules and regulations. And the Sadducees and the Pharisees were teaching these as the way to discipleship. This is the way to be in good with God. And Jesus comes onto the scene and says, guess what? You don't have to do any of that to have a relationship with God. You've got to trust in me. You've got to have faith in me. You've got to follow me. And that's really good news. And no wonder people were starting to prick up their ears and starting to listen and thinking, hey, this is something new. Now, I use the term teaching about the way of the kingdom of God. What's this idea of the way? Jesus said, I am the way. But it went beyond that as well. I think we need terminology that relates to this idea of us being a movement rather than an empire. And too often in our world, the word kingdom, for instance, brings up this idea of being an empire. And that's what Jesus is into. Jesus is into creating this group of people who are around him and following him and becoming like him. And in the New Testament, when you see things like the way, it's a Greek word hodos, H-O-D-O-S, hodos. And it literally means a way of thinking and a way of feeling and a way of deciding and acting. And Jesus is calling people to think differently, to feel differently, to decide on different criteria and to act out in different ways. That's what he's calling people to. That's what discipleship is, to be more like him. And this is known as the way in the New Testament, in the New Testament. For instance, in Acts 9:2, it says Paul was hunting down people who belonged to, not the church, it was called the way. Paul was hunting down people who belonged to the way. They were living a different sort of lifestyle. And in Acts 19:9, it says people in the synagogue, in the church, the local church, started to slander the way. They started to speak badly about the way of Christ, the way that people were following. And in Acts 19:23, it says there was a major disturbance about the way. Hodos, each of these verses. Hodos. And in Acts 24:14, Paul defends himself before Felix for teaching about the way, hodos. And in 24:22, Felix is said to have been accurately informed about the way. You see, in Acts, we were known, not as the church, we were known as the way. Because we were known as people who were gathering around this guy called Jesus, who seemed to have it all together, who was the way to have reconciliation with God and who lived the way that would make a difference, that would cause us to be seen in the world as people who were different. And so large crowds of people came to him from all over these regions. They started to follow him and the movement was getting bigger. So we come to the Sermon on the Mount, because Jesus needed to teach these crowds of people about the way of life that we're called to as healthy disciples of Jesus in the movement. Matthew 5:1-2, when he saw the crowds, he went up on the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him and he began to teach them, saying, he sees the crowds and he decides to teach them about the way. This movement will have a way of life. This movement will have a way of life. We call it discipleship. Jesus is about to let them know all about what that way of life is. Here it is. The movement will be defined by the way it lives out this life. And just think for a moment and bring it into Montmorency and bring it into your relationships with people at work and people across the fence and people in the shopping centres and waiting on the rail station. And you see, what Jesus is saying is that you'll be known as people who are followers of the way, people who are living differently. The movement's going to be defined by the way it lives out its way of life. Jesus said, love one another as I have loved you. The movement is known by its love for one another, because Jesus also said, by this all people, your neighbours, will know that you are my disciples, will know that you are part and parcel of the way by the love that you have for one another. So if you want to boil discipleship down into one word, that one word is love. By the way we love one another, and not only one another, but our neighbours and our enemies, people all around us. And it's going to be incredibly different. Don't know if you've been watching The Chosen on the app that can be downloaded onto your phone or other devices. And in The Chosen, there's one scene where Jesus is seen calling Matthew, the tax collector, to follow him. Now, in The Chosen, there's been a bit of a story developing between Peter, who is already following Jesus, and Matthew. And in this particular story, it's made out that Peter owes Matthew a lot of taxes. And they don't have a real good relationship with each other. And Jesus, with Peter standing beside him, calls Matthew and says, come and follow me. And Peter looks at him and says, you're calling him to be with us and follow you? And Jesus said, yeah, come on. Come and follow me. And Peter looks at Jesus and he says, well, this is going to be different. And Jesus looks at Peter and says, get used to different. Get used to different. That's a pretty good summary of discipleship. Get used to different. Hang in there, because you ain't seen nothing yet. So Jesus sees these crowds of people, and he wants them to know what it's going to be like to be truly following him. And so just very briefly, an overview of what he teaches them as recorded across the next few chapters. What sort of things are in the discipleship manual that Jesus has? What will life in the movement really look like? Well, there's a different perspective on flourishing given to us in the Beatitudes, the verses that were read out, Matthew 5, 3 to 12. A beatitude means statements of blessings. And so Jesus is saying, this is your flourishing framework. This is what's going to be seen as blessing. And he switches the price tags to paraphrase Tony Campolo in one of his books. He switches the price tags, because what is valued here and seen, wow, we got to get that, Jesus doesn't put any value onto that. And he says, actually, no, the value is over here. And that's what the Beatitudes are all about. And then in the next passage, verses 13 to 16, relating to the world. How do you relate to the world? Yeah, you're in the world. You're not to be removed from the world. In fact, you're to be the salt and the light of the world. Now, there are various interpretations of what the salt means, but salt in those days added zest, added life. It preserved life in meat and various other things. And the idea of being salt in the world is that you're going to be the life of the world. You're going to add zest to the world. It's not a dull and dreary sort of thing, like oftentimes Christianity is seen in the world. It's actually salt in a tasteless world. And you're going to be light in a darkened society. You know, the world around you is dark. It's hard to see where to go. It's hard to discern what truth is. You know, with all the fake stuff that's around and so forth, it's really hard to know. And you as my followers, you as my disciples, you as people of the way, you people who are in this movement, are going to see things differently, and you're going to be like light in a darkened society. And then the next passage, verses 17 to 48, he talks about the internalization of the law. he said, I haven't come to destroy the Old Testament, but I've come to fulfill it. And so he goes on then and he says, now you've heard that it was said, and he quotes the Old Testament, but I am saying, and he puts the emphasis onto what's going on in the heart, inside. Life will be radically different to other ideas on what discipleship is all about. Love is something from inside. The law that he's talking about is an internal set of values, not just an external thing, and love is foundational to that. This is the movement. This is the way that you are following. You've heard that it said, don't murder people, but I'm telling you, it's wrong to anger, and it's wrong to hate. You know, it's not just the act of murder, it's what's going on inside as far as anger and hatred is concerned. You've heard that you shouldn't commit adultery, but it's not just adultery, it includes lusting after what is not yours. You know, it starts here. And you've heard that it said that you've got to get the legalities right for divorce, but I'm telling you, it's not just divorce. It includes treating people as dispensable in a throwaway society, because that's what was happening in that particular day and age. And then he talks about truth-telling. It's not just about making sure you make the right oaths in court. It's about being straightforward and truthful and let your yes be yes and your no be no. So nobody has to question you on it. That's the way of life. I'm calling you to, Jesus says. And it's about loving your enemies. Loving your enemies. Not just your friends. Anybody can do that. But I'm telling you, love those who are really different to you. Even those who are opposing you. The next set is about religious practices, and he says, you know, when it comes to practicing your religion, when it comes to practicing the characteristics of the way, of what it is to be a disciple, of the movement that you're caught up in, no more show-off sort of stuff. Don't be a show-off with it, you know. Other people don't need to know what you're doing. He says, when it comes to giving, don't sort of make a big deal of it. Hey, how much am I giving? Look at this. That's wrong, he says. Don't worry about that. And when it comes to praying, don't be those who are going saying, you know, look how long I can pray and how loud I can pray. Everybody has a prayer voice, you know. And Jesus says, oh, it's not about that. It's not about that in the movement. It's just about getting in with God, you know. Getting in with God. Go into your closet and close the door and pray privately. He says, when it comes to fasting, don't put on a big show and say, no thanks, no cakes for me at the church morning tea. I'm fasting today. He says, no. Wash your face and look healthy and don't show off about the fact that you're fasting. You see, this is the idea that grinds on God. And you look back in Old Testament passages, and when people are showing off about all these religious things that they're doing, the prophets get really mad. So religious practices, he deals with that in the Sermon on the Mount. And then finally, daily life along the way. And he addresses materialism, he addresses anxiety, he addresses judging others. He talks about what it is to really walk with God. He talks about the fruitfulness that comes through our life. And of course, Paul deals with that later on in Galatians, doesn't he, where he talks about the fruit of the Spirit of love and joy and peace and so forth. And Jesus addresses it here in fruitfulness. And then he talks about, finally, life foundations. There's a choice that you can make as he winds this sermon up and covers all of this material. And he basically says there's a choice that you are to make. What are you going to build your life on? Because you can build it on sand and it might look really good, but when the troubles and the struggles come, it's gone. Or you can build it on rock and it will be solid. You know, the troubles and the struggles will come and you'll be able to withstand the storm. And that's what he says in the final verses of the Sermon on the Mount. So the big question is, so what? What does that mean for us today? Well, the great news is that we are a part of this Jesus movement that started with Jesus and four fishermen on a beach in Galilee about 2,000 years ago. And this movement involves trusting him as the way to reconciliation with God. We were like this, and now we're like this. Man with God because of Jesus. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And the movement involves living the characteristics of the way so that we might be transformed, and that the world, the communities in which we live and work and play, might be transformed. The history of revivals of the movement across what's known as church history are incredible as far as their social impact is concerned, as far as the transformation of the world that comes about because groups of people got serious about following the way, serious about the movement. His call to follow is a call to live his way, following his example. This can be really hard. At times, you know, there's a lot of opposition to it. Opposition that comes from inside, opposition that comes from satanic forces, opposition that comes from the world, and opposition that comes even from within the church, as it did for so many people in Jesus' time. It can be hard. And it's at those times that we need to remember Jesus' words. Are you burned out on religion? This is how it's paraphrased by Eugene Peterson in The Message. Are you burned out on religion? You know, trying to do all the things that other people demand of you, and thinking that you've got to get over this next step to be able to win favour with God. Is that happening for you? Jesus says, well, come to me. Come to me. And you'll find rest for your souls. Because my burden is light. Just learn what it is to be yoked with me, or as Peterson puts it so well, learn the rhythms of grace, the rhythms of grace, the unconditional rhythms of grace, just to walk with Jesus in all of this, and you will find rest for your souls. And so Jesus calls us to be in the movement. And then he empowers us to live that movement. And that's what discipleship is all about. I pray God's blessing on you over the next few weeks as you continue to look at this whole area of discipleship. It can be a really exciting time. So God bless you. Let me pray. Dear God, I do thank you so much for your word and for the truths within it, and for how free we can be in you, Lord Jesus. But we recognise that also involves a very high calling, and times that can be tough. We know that it's all about fullness of life, but we also know that it can be tough. And so thank you that we can just simply walk alongside of you and experience your enablement, experience your love, and trust you in all of this. I pray for Monty Church that you would continue to help them to come alongside each other, and as Josh was saying before in the children's talk, to help hold that bottle of water up, to help walk through the burdens that can come along the way. I pray for Monty Church that would be so within this place and within this community, and then it would be also so outside in the neighbourhood and the worlds that we move into throughout the week. So I commit them to you. With thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen.